Welcome back, 417, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, Andy Parks live from the Washington Times, and look who's here, the one and only Emily Miller, Washington Times, senior editor of the opinion pages. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Andy.
Welcome to Wednesday.
I'll tell you, it's so good. I love Wednesday because, as producer Ann said, everyone's back to work because 2 days of everyone just, you know, being locked in their houses was way too much.
Yeah.
And now it's only 6 days to the election.
Yeah.
I thought it would never come.
Yeah, I know. All right, got plenty to talk to you about today. One, I want to start with Romney hearts Democrats. I love that column. Once again, as you mentioned, it could be a divided Congress, and if that's the case, if Romney wins, will the divide narrow?
Well, this is, I'm only writing this in under the assumption Republicans don't take back the Senate. I mean, they might. There's a chance. It's just not looking that good right now.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then you've got another at least 2 to 4 years of Harry Reid being in charge. And Harry Reid is not going to do anything to be helpful. So it's going to be a challenge no matter what, you know, if Romney's elected. But you know what? Obama has done nothing with Republicans. He doesn't even associate with Republicans. He doesn't meet with Republicans. You know, it's just been, you know, a complete partisan jam and gridlock in this city for the past 2 years. So the president will not work with them. And I think somebody dislikes Republicans at a certain level.
Yeah.
What's different about Mitt Romney than it is Obama is Obama's only been in these Democratic sort of, you know, strangleholds, whether it's the Illinois legislature, the Democratic Senate. So now he comes into, you know, that political experience. Now, Mitt Romney was a Republican governor in a very blue state of Massachusetts with a legislature that was 85% Democratic. So, you know, he really had to work with them. And as he has said, he inherited a $3 billion deficit, and he worked with the legislature and ended with a $2 billion rainy day fund. That's a huge turnaround. And they cut taxes 19 times. So, you know, talk about getting things done. Like, I would really like to see the federal government cut taxes at all, much less balance the budget or create a surplus even more so.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be? Can you imagine actually having more money than we actually need at any given point?
Here's how it could happen. If the economy turns around, people make more money, then they'll send more money to Washington because that's how it works. You just have to pay more taxes and everything will work. But as long as this economy is stuck like it has been for the past 4 years with barely 1% or 2% GDP, no one's doing well, then we're never going to get out of this debt crisis.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But it just frustrated me because I'm like, yes, I do think that it could turn around. It's just so frustrating. Like, as you said, it's frustrating that it can't in this environment. But, you know, the Obama campaign does not want to hear that Romney works well with Democrats. And so they put out a statement saying that Romney essentially lied on the campaign trail. And when he said that, you know, he's worked with Democratic legislature and got all these things done, and they said that, put out a statement saying Romney never worked with the legislature. So I spoke with the former Democratic majority leader in the legislature, a man who's worked well, Jim Valley's name. He worked closely with Romney. He told me that they used to drive to events together and that Romney had open-door policy, and he said that's absolutely not true. He said that we really did work well together, and we worked a lot together. So, you know, the Obama campaign just flat out lies and puts out this stuff, and it's just really unbelievable. All you do is talk to a Democrat who was there to find out the truth.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, if the legislature was 87% Democrat, he had to work with them to get anything done.
When he said, you know, we cut taxes, we balanced the budget, it wasn't by executive order.
Yeah. That's true. All right, I want to talk to you about this this other piece I just saw, Paul Ryan's guns. What's that all about?
Well, that's a new series I started today, actually, and I'm looking at some high-profile people's gun collection. And my overall, you know, purpose is just for the fun of it, because I think it's so interesting, and a lot of gun owners think it's really interesting. You know, what do these people own? What make? What model? What caliber? What do they use them for? Where do they get their guns? Things like that. But also, you know, the subtext of this is that there are millions, hundreds of millions of of gun owners in this country. They are law-abiding people. They even have more than one gun, which gun grabbers would call an arsenal, you know? Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean anything. It means that they're millions of times a year preventing crime in defensive ways with their firearms and not committing crimes. And just so to show you, for the people who are don't know that much about gun ownership or are scared of it or, you know, but not to believe what you're reading is sort of mostly in the liberal media or what you're seeing on TV in Hollywood, that, you know, very good people like Paul Ryan. And Paul Ryan was so interesting to me, and I interviewed his brother-in-law, Mark Alcott. Mark is, their wives are sisters. Mm-hmm. Molly right. Alcott is Jana Little Ryan's wife.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, I said, you know, everybody knows that Paul Ryan's a big hunter, and I assume he shoots with, you know, long guns. So he just said yes, you know, he shoots with a Remington rifle, 700 rifle, and a Benelli shotgun. Benelli is owned by the Beretta company.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful shotgun. But then he said, which is really what surprised me, that sometimes Paul shoots deer using a 357 revolver. It's something I had never heard of.
Oh, yeah. Said, oh, yeah. It happens.
I didn't even know. And I was like, and I said to Mark that he actually really enjoys it and he's killed a lot of deer that way. He said it's more like, they like it because it's more like the bow hunting, which they both do as well. And Paul Ryan stands is in the deer stand with a holster 357 waiting till the deer is within 30 yards to shoot it. So
mm-hmm.
that was so interesting to me, but was even probably the most interesting thing that's come out of this is his brother-in-law says that Paul has a handgun at home for self-defense. He owns a Glock 9mm. You know, so, you know, it's just as much as important as it is for hunters to have rights. And I also have an editorial today on a bunch of ballot initiatives for hunting rights that are up on Tuesday. But really, the point of the Second Amendment is protection. It's self-defense. It's to have a gun in your home to protect yourself or on the streets, I also believe. So it is so, you know, I think it's just very important for people to see that somebody who very well might be the next vice president of the United States has a handgun at home for self-defense. Mark said he also sometimes takes it to Oklahoma with him. They have a target shooting there. And actually he said that when Paul Ryan is in Washington, sometimes he practices with the Capitol Police at their shooting range. So,
wow.
You know, he's not just using shotguns in the woods. You know, he's a real gun enthusiast.
That's cool. That's something I didn't know about him. I knew he was into hunting a little bit. I didn't know he was into target shooting and some other things. So that's very interesting. And I did read your piece, The Hunter's Election. And as you mentioned, there are a few pro-gun ballot initiatives set for next week. What is it? Kentucky, Idaho, Nebraska, Wyoming. What are they asking for? Are they just asking for hunting protection?
Yeah, well, this is sort of in reaction to the sort of they call themselves animal rights activists, you know, who are pushing back on hunters' rights around the country over the past 20 years, pretty much, as well as the environmentalists who say ridiculous things like lead bullets going back into the ground that they came from somehow affects the environment. So because of these kind of new restrictions that are popping up around the country, many states, up to 14 now, are putting in their constitution that hunters have rights and they cannot be infringed unless it has to do with conservation, because hunters are the biggest conservationists in the country, and that hunting is a primary source of wildlife management, with several other things. It also applies a lot to fishing issues.
Mm-hmm.
So there are four states that will be having those votes on Tuesday, and so voting yes would mean that they will amend their constitutions for these hunting rights and hunting privileges. There's also a really big vote in Louisiana. Louisiana state happens to have pretty much the worst firearms laws. It's the most lenient. They have these pro-gun activist judges making crazy rulings. So they're voting to change their constitution to delete a line that allows for any restrictions on carrying rights,
mm-hmm.
As well as to say that they can only use strict interpretation in any way to do any other kind of legal decisions based on it. And the NRA says that if Louisiana approves this measure on Tuesday, it will make it the state with the most important Second Amendment gun rights, pro-gun rights laws in the country, and it's just the most, you know, freedom-loving.
Hmm. So what's the outlook according to them? They think it's going to pass?
I think, this looks really interesting, and I think most of these will. I mean, these are pretty strong red state.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see what this affects the turnout, because, you know, a lot of turners may not be all that interested in the top of the ticket. I mean, you may have some swing voters who are hunters, but, you know, will show up for this big vote on their constitution. So I do think it'll affect turnout, and I think it could help the Republicans.
Yeah.
If they have a hunter on the ticket.
Yep. All right. Well, I got to tell you, some interesting stuff around the country. It occurs to me it's going to be very busy next Tuesday night, because I got a billion things I need to check on. I'll be watching TV all night.
And I have a feeling we'll be watching into next morning to get all the results.
Yeah. All right, Emily, great to talk to you. We'll talk to you next week, the day after the election. All right?
Exciting. We'll have so much more information then. Okay,
yeah.
Take care.
See ya. Emily Miller, Washington Times senior editor of the Opinion Pages. 428, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.